Welcome to Copper Country Today, heard Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock on 97.7 The Wolf, 8 o'clock on 1400 AM, 99.3 FM WCCY, and 9 o'clock on KBear 102.3. Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, proud supporters of the Copper Country Humane Society and the Keweenaw Spay and Neuter Assistance Group. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at KeweenawReport.com. My guest in this segment is Maggie Munch from UP Kids Big Brothers Big Sisters here in Houghton. Maggie, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me here and for sharing the air.
Awesome. Let's get into UP Kids Big Brothers Big Sisters. Give us a little bit of, I guess, background on the organization.
Okay. Big Brothers Big Sisters is a program of UP Kids locally, and we're also an affiliate of Big Brothers Big Sisters of America. And what we do is we provide one-to-one friendship, guidance, and opportunities to children and youth in our local communities through professionally supported mentoring relationships.
How long has it been around specifically in this area?
In this area, the local programs, there was some local Big Brothers Big Sisters in the 70s, mm-hmm. and then it kind of fizzled out. And in the early 90s, Big Brothers Big Sisters started up again, and that's the existing agency now.
Was there anything specific that, I guess, brought it back?
Yeah, there's a local group affiliated with the Children's Trust Fund in Michigan mm-hmm. that focuses on awareness of child abuse and neglection, on awareness and prevention of those topics. And they had identified the need for a program like Big Brothers Big Sisters for the children in our local communities. They just felt like that was a gap or something that was missing in the community. So Mark Lambert, who is the executive director of UP Kids, was actually a part of that Children's Trust Fund group. And he had been affiliated with Big Brothers Big Sisters agencies in Lower Michigan. And so he kind of took on the task of starting up the local programs.
What kind of, in terms of the kids that are in these programs, are we talking about from all walks of life?
Definitely all walks of life, all different family scenarios. You know, a lot of people focus on like the needy child, but that's not really what we're about. I mean, when you think about mentoring and positive, healthy relationships for young people, you know, any child would benefit from an additional caring person in their life. And, you know, I guess the children in our program would oftentimes be categorized as at risk. Mm-hmm. They're more susceptible or vulnerable to risk factors that they may face in their day-to-day life, risk factors such as violence or anger, bullying, alcohol, drug use, those type of factors. The kids that we're working with just might be more vulnerable to those.
And in terms of the kids, when they initially get involved in this program, what's their reaction like?
Most kids are really very excited to get involved in the program. We will not accept a child into the program unless they actually want to be in the program. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in all of our programs that we offer, the kids are just really pretty pumped because they can sense pretty early on that this person that's, you know, spending some time with them is like totally there for them. You know, it's one-to-one attention, friendship and guidance that we're offering to them. And the kids can tell that these people are there for them. And it makes them pretty happy and excited. Plus, they're, you know, oftentimes going out doing fun things. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we have, right from the very beginning, we work very hard to place volunteers with children who, you know, it's almost like fitting pieces of a puzzle together.
Yeah.
As far as identifying how does this volunteer fit with this child. So oftentimes when they first meet, they have common interests and they have, you know, common hobbies. And so it's very easy for them to bond initially and get excited about some of the same things that they both enjoy.
In terms of the volunteers, what is the, I guess, application process like?
Okay. Typically, it starts with just filling out an application. Most volunteers, we ask that you're a minimum age of 18 years old and a high school graduate. And there is no upper age limit. We love grandparents with empty nests and grandkids who live away coming in to volunteer to be a big brother or big sister. And it just starts with an application. And then the process involves us getting to know the volunteers or the applicants very, very well, as far as to determine if they're appropriate for the program and for safety issues, but also getting to know them well so that, again, fitting those pieces of a puzzle together, we can identify what type of child might work best with the volunteer. There's a process of providing personal references, and there is an interview and assessment. There's a home visit. There's background checks. All of those sorts of things are in place to assure safety.
In terms of, I guess, age range specific to this area, what would you say most of the volunteers are older, younger?
You know, we have a healthy mix. We have probably about a third of our volunteers are college students. Michigan Tech and Finlandia are, you know, a resource for us with volunteers. You know, but I don't want people to be confused or think that that's the necessarily the ideal or the only type of volunteer that we're looking for. We have people, you know, grown adults, community members, community leaders who volunteer for our program. They, you know, might have families of their own, or people with empty nests or grandparents whose grandchildren live away. We have, again, no upper age limit. And those volunteers, actually, about two-thirds of our volunteers are in that type of category. And, you know, they really are wonderful because they're oftentimes rooted in the community, and they are here for the long haul, because up front we ask for a one-year commitment from our volunteers.
Okay.
But we have a lot of volunteers who stick around. You know, it's up to the volunteer and the child to determine once that one-year mark is hit, then they kind of decide from there, you know, do we continue on? And most of the time they do.
In terms of what, I don't want to say what are they expected to do, but in terms of the things, what kind of things are, is that part of the process?
Yeah, you know, we typically upfront ask for volunteers to spend a couple hours each week with the child. And that can vary according to your availability, the child's availability and schedules. You know, and it's kind of up to the volunteer and the child to decide how they spend that time together. You know, again, they're coming to the table with common interests and hobbies to start with, most cases. So, you know, they just pick activities. You know, we ask that our volunteers don't spend money on the activities with these kids. So, you know, you do have to get creative in figuring out what you're going to do. But, you know, it could be something like sledding or reading a book together. You could help them with their homework. You could hang out and cook a meal at home or bake some cookies. You know, there's whatever your interests are, you can kind of share those type of things with the child that you're working with.
In terms of children that are coming from families, maybe single parent homes, what is the relationship between the family and the volunteer?
Well, you know, there's very little kind of interaction or time spent together between the volunteer and the family. You know, in the enrollment process, in putting together a mentoring relationship or match, we the parent gets to meet the potential volunteer, and the parent definitely gets to have a say in who their child is matched to. And they can say yes or no if they meet a potential volunteer and there's something that doesn't sit right with the parent, then we won't match that volunteer to that child. Beyond that, the parent and the volunteer probably talk to coordinate to, you know, coordinate schedules and outings. But beyond that, there's not really much connection or time spent together. What we do have is we have professional support or guidance provided for each of these mentoring relationships. So we have a local caseworker who stays in communication with the family, the child, and the volunteer, as well as the parent, and kind of keeps the communication going, kind of creating a team that works towards, you know, pushing forward with this child and finding positive outcomes for the child. Because we determine, like, we have goals when we we match a child to a volunteer. There are goals that we're trying to achieve, looking for this child to provide positive outcomes through this relationship. So every step of the way, we're almost intentional. Like, a volunteer might come to us and say they're noticing, you know, certain trends with their little, or they're noticing, you know, their grades are slipping. And at the same time, the parent's probably telling us the same thing. So we look at ways that we can support our volunteers and guide them in working with the child and being a mentor to them and helping them to overcome these obstacles.
Obviously, with the with the kids, they're getting a lot out of this in terms of having that one-on-one interaction with somebody. In terms of the volunteers themselves, I mean, basically, what kind of things can they take out of an experience? What's in it for them?
You know, it's a highly rewarding experience. You kind of, I speak as a former big sister myself. I had volunteered before I worked for the agency and spent several years with my little sister. And, you know, it's kind of life-changing for the volunteer as well. You enter into it thinking, oh, I'm going to help a child. Mm-hmm. And then along the way, you realize all these wonderful benefits for yourself. I mean, you feel like you are, you know, important to someone and you're contributing to someone's future, mm-hmm. and contributing to sharing new perspectives with them that maybe will help them to come to new perspectives in their own life and hopefully help them along the way to their path to success. And it feels good. It's fun. You know, I mean, I got to get out in the community and just play and be a kid again, forget about my own life going on and just focus on that child and explore local areas, hiking, snowshoeing was one of our favorite things to do, just exploring places that I hadn't been to in a long time or that I always wanted to get to. It's just fun and rewarding, and I also have an additional caring person in my life as a result of it.
In terms of getting these volunteers, is there ever any like a downtime or a decrease or a time where you would expect to have more volunteers?
Well, I guess I would start by saying that in general, there's always a need for more volunteers, mm-hmm. and especially for male volunteers. There's a critical shortage of male mentors across the nation. And there are trends. You know, typically when the school year starts, we get an influx of volunteers because the college students are back in town. Oftentimes after the first of the year, we get an influx of volunteers as well. I suspect that might have something to do with maybe people's New Year's resolutions. And
yeah.
Their,
that makes sense.
Their goals to, get involved in some sort of giving back to the community. But in general, we're always in need. We have a waiting list of children locally in the Copper Country. Right now, we have about 25 kids on a waiting list waiting for a big, and about 20 of them are little boys.
You're listening to Copper Country Today, here with my guest Maggie Munch from UP Kids Big Brothers Big Sisters. This month, a National Mentoring Month. You can go in a little bit about what that's all about.
Okay. National Mentoring Month, it's in its 14th year, and it really is a national campaign for awareness on mentoring, to let people know the value of mentoring and what it can, the power behind mentoring and what it can do. Basically, mentoring is a program that can be a critical piece of a puzzle of solutions, against what children are facing in society, against these risk factors that we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. Mentoring is an all-encompassing strategy for positive youth development, and National Mentoring Month just brings the issue to the table for us to be able to talk about mentoring, to talk about the need for more mentors, and to talk about the value of the outcomes that we're providing for kids through mentoring relationships.
In terms of those opportunities specific to this area, and I guess in your time that you've been with the organization, how have you seen it change from the early days till today?
Sadly, the trends that I've noticed as I've been with Big Brothers Big Sisters now for over a decade is just more need. There mm-hmm. seems to be an increasing need for a program such as ours. You know, when you look at what children are facing in society, and when I hear the numbers, according to a nationwide research, 1 in 3 children do not have a mentor in their life as they're growing up. And not even one mentor. And that just doesn't feel right, because like I said, the more caring adults you have in your life that are invested in you, paying attention to you, supporting you along your way as you're growing up, the better, the better your outcomes may be or the easier your path may be to getting to success. So, so it's kind of sad to see the increasing need and the increasing shortage of mentors.
Is there maybe an issue with finding these kids in need, maybe that they just they're too quiet, or they just don't want to maybe seclude themselves?
Oh, definitely. You know, I mean, I think there are a lot of kids that are falling through the cracks, that are getting left behind, that are not being noticed. They're just quietly going about their way. And, you know, I mean, these kids can thrive. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that kids in these kind of scenarios cannot succeed. It's just their path is so much harder. If we can, hop on board with providing more supportive, healthy, positive relationships for young people, we're just going to make their path in life a little bit easier.
In terms of mentoring the youth in this community, do you feel like that impact could branch out into other things?
Oh, definitely. I believe that mentoring contributes to and strengthens a community. You know, when children are thriving, when they're involved in a mentoring relationship, they are thriving. They're doing better in school. They're mm-hmm. making better decisions. They're having a better outlook toward their future, and they're achieving more. And when you can do that for young people, then, you know, they're more likely to then, you know, find success in their life, to be more responsible, engaged adults who are then nurturing their own children and contributing to that healthy cycle of a healthy community.
What are some of the maybe like the small things, just really simple things that someone can do that do fall under the category of mentoring?
You can start with the naturally occurring mentoring relationships in your life. You know, the children that are already there, a part of your life, mm-hmm. like intentionally going about your interactions with them to be more positive with them, to really take an interest in them and pay attention and support them, guide them, share your own perspectives with them. And that's where it really simply starts, by investing in the young people who are already in your life. If you have the time and you can volunteer for a mentoring program, that's another step that you can take. And it's pretty easy. You know, you look at volunteering to be a big brother or a big sister. It might be kind of overwhelming at first to look at the time commitment. You might think you're too busy. Mm-hmm. But just, you know, I mean, if you have an interest, just do it, because it actually becomes quite easy. Eventually it just becomes a part of what you do every week, hanging out with this young person, and it becomes something that you look forward to. So volunteering as a mentor in a program is something you can do. If you don't have time, you can always give resources. We're always seeking funds for our programs, or any other mentoring organization across the nation is in need of funding to deliver our programs. If you can give time to help at the office, give time to help with our fundraiser, Bowl for Kids, or get involved with the fundraising events. You know, these are a number of things you can do to help out.
And I guess you mentioned the Bowl for Kids coming up in March, I believe. Talk a little bit about what went into creating an event like that.
Bowl for Kids is kind of, it's based on a national model from Big Brothers Big Sisters of America. It's and initially when this Big Brothers Big Sisters started in the Copper Country, before they even started programs, they did a fundraiser. They had Bowl for Kids so that they could get some startup funds to get the programs up and running. And it's just a simple and easy way that people can get involved and support our mission. We figure anybody can bowl. Mm-hmm. And, it's not about the bowling. It's not about how many pins you knock down. It's just about coming to the event and having fun for a good cause. You know, each person that gets involved with the event has to raise $35 minimum. And then once you raise that minimum, you get 2 hours of free bowling, free pizza from Pizza Hut. We give away prizes all throughout the session. The more money you raise, the more prizes you might qualify for. So, it's a very simple way to support the mission, and it helps us to have, usually we have 300 plus bowlers in the Copper Country event each year, and that's 300 people out there who are raising money for us and helping us to ease our burdens as far as, fundraising and creating or finding those resources to make our programs happen.
I know it's a little early to ask, but in terms of the turnout for this year, what are your expectations?
I anticipate and hope that we will at least at a minimum match what we did last year. We had about 300 bowlers and we raised a little over $30,000. for the Copper Country event. So, and every single penny that we raise with that event goes directly into our Big Brothers Big Sisters programs locally out of the Copper Country. You know, so that's a huge event. It's a huge percentage of the funds that we need to run our programs. You know, so we usually get pretty great participation. The community embraces the event and therefore embraces our mission and supports us. I anticipate that we will at least match that, and I'm hoping we'll go up a little.
And in terms of, I guess, the volunteers, the kids that are actually at the event, how are they feeling? What's their reaction, you know, just the whole time being over there?
You know, the one word that I would pick to describe the event is just fun. You know, I mean, it's what it really is just a celebration or a party where we invite all those people who are out fundraising for us, all those people who support our programs. We invite them to just come and enjoy and celebrate what we do and celebrate their efforts in fundraising. We've got some amazing people raising a lot of money for us that, you know, we want them to be able to feel good about what they're doing. And we do have our matches in the room, and they are just enjoying themselves. And, you know, I think it's kind of eye-opening, especially for some of our volunteers, to see this community support. Because, like I said, it is the community embracing what we do. And it kind of feels like when you're in that room, like, and when our littles are in there, like, I think they know that all of those people are really there for them.
And in terms of how people can sign up, how people can get to be a part of Bowl for Kids, what are some of the ways that they can do that?
Well, you can go to our website, upkids.com, and you can sign up a team there. Because usually what we ask is if people are interested in getting involved, if you can put a team together of maybe 4 to 8 people, that's the best way to, you know, to get involved in the event. And, you know, if you want to bowl as an individual, we'll accept you there. But you just sign up online, or you can call us at 487-9855 and get involved that way. We also need volunteers on the day of the event. We also need people who might be interested in helping us with planning and preparation before the event, you know, because there's a lot of things going on to get ready for that day.
All righty. Well, that'll wrap up this segment of Copper Country Today. I'd like to thank Maggie Munch for joining me on today's program. Thank you. Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, proud supporters of the Copper Country Humane Society and the Keweenaw Spay and Neuter Assistance Group. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at KeweenawReport.com. We'll be right back with the second segment of Copper Country Today.